I'm going to tell you about a guy named James. Now, that's just what I call him, because he's never given me his name. I've met him twice so far, and I plan to see him again, but to this point, James has never spoken a word to me. If you live in Powder Springs, we'll call it West Powder Springs. That's where God's country is. I don't know about East Powder Springs, but yeah, West Powder Springs. There's some shopping areas out there, and James typically will sit there in the parking lot. Young man, I'm going to guess 35-ish, somewhere in there. He'll sit in a parking lot, and usually in front of him will be a pile of cigarette butts that came from James. And he'll have two or three 20-ounce Cokes. One will be empty. One looks about half, and the other one, I guess, is going to be the next one that he starts working on. Now, if you're a Braves fan, especially when they went on that long, long run through the 90s and 2000s, you remember the name Leo Mazzoni. He was a Braves pitching coach. So what would Leo do when he sat in the dugout? That's right. I knew Mark was going to help me. Leo would sit there, and I guess it was just nervous energy or whatever, but he would rock. Well, that's James. James sits there, and he smokes, and he rocks. And even though James has never spoken a word, just spending a few minutes with him here and there, you recognize that he's down on his luck, and that's probably putting it mildly. He's having a real hard time. He can see, that's clear. He can hear, that's clear as well. I don't know if he can speak. He doesn't like to shake hands either, by the way. He'll fist bump you, but he doesn't like to shake hands. I want us to keep James, and again, I don't know his name. It could be Bob, it could be Methuselah. That's just, he looks like a James to me, so that's what he's going to be. Jesus tells some parables in Luke chapter 14, but it's important to read this whole chapter, in my opinion, together, because it all is of a piece. And it starts, the setting for these parables is the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. And if we're paying attention to where we are in the story, in Luke's gospel at least, at the end of chapter 9 is when Jesus makes his turn toward Jerusalem. Now you're going to have how many chapters? 11 or so chapters of travel, 12 maybe, of travel to Jerusalem. But he's on the way, so we are in the last phase. Maybe as Churchill would say, the beginning of the end. Or he said the end of the beginning, right? But it's definitely the beginning of the end. And it's hostile territory. Jesus of Nazareth, this itinerant preacher slash rabbi, has, quote, caused a lot of issues among the religious elite in his day and time. And here he is, not only in the house of a Pharisee, but he's in the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. So this is somewhat hostile territory. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully, and behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, this is those who are along with him who are invited to this meal. He said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. So this is the moment that kicks off two parables back to back that Jesus will tell in their presence. One about a wedding feast, and the following one about a great banquet. So let's listen to what Jesus says to these. Now, he told a parable to those who were invited. So his fellow guests at this dinner at the house of a ruler, the Pharisees. Jesus turns to the rest of the guests, it sounds like. And he did this when he noticed, verse 7, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you will, you both will come to and say to you, give your place to this person. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? You chose a place of honor, and then the master of the feast comes up to you and says, hey, this is not your chair. You're down there somewhere. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place, but when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now he turns from his fellow guests to tell the second parable. And to whom does he tell the second parable? This is to the man who invited him. When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. This was Zion's reading just a moment ago. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. It's a bold proclamation, isn't it? But Jesus said to him, and here it comes. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited. All right, so the master of the banquet, he sends out invitations. In my brain, I've got Hogwarts in my brain, by the way, when I read this story. You seen the Harry Potter movies? No, some of you haven't. That's okay. But when everybody gets together to eat, there's this huge banquet hall and these long tables all set out. That's the image that I personally get in my brain. And at the time of the banquet, I already read that, he sent a servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife. Don't want to make mama upset, right? I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. No explanation beyond that. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, obviously some time passed here. Sir, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. You know, Jesus says a lot in these two parables. And by the way, Jesus isn't, you know, this first century Martha Stewart who's given people instructions on what to serve and all that. There's obviously, it's a parable. There's more to the story, and it really goes back to that line in verse 14 Zion read, that I read just a moment ago, for you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so when you, quote, go to the banquet, you take that lowest place, and then you'll be elevated to a higher place. He ain't talking about eating here. Now, I think there's a powerful message in here about eating with those who are, as Paul would describe them, lowly. Those who struggle. Those who've had a hard turn. Those who are down on their luck. But two things. Number one, actually three things. The master intends that his table will be full. Did you hear that in there? That second parable? My table's going to be full, Master. Well, I did what you said. I invited the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and we still have room. He says, well, you go out, man. You beat the bushes, and you tell people that the Master is having a great banquet and that he wants his table to be filled. So Jesus insists that his banquet table is going to be full. Jesus also insists that everyone be invited. There is no one person in this world who has ever existed that Jesus Christ is not inviting to join him at his banquet table. So the passion of the Master is that his table be full, that everyone will be invited. And here's the thing that gives me chills and sometimes even brings tears, is that this passionate Master wants all who respond to the call to be welcomed. Everyone, regardless who they are, regardless where they've come from, regardless what you or I may have done. And here's something that's at issue in these parables, and I think at issue with these Pharisees, is that they don't realize that, spiritually speaking, they are poor, blind, crippled, and lame. They don't see themselves as that. And really, it's not until, as human beings, regardless of how, quote, well we do in this world, it's not until we as human beings recognize that without Jesus Christ, without responding to the invitation to the great banquet being held by the Master, we will always be poor, crippled, blind, and lame. It is the passion of the Master to love and to serve everyone. You, me, James, sitting there rocking back and forth in a parking lot somewhere, I guarantee you, somewhere in Powder Springs, West Powder Springs, right now, James is rocking in the parking lot, smoking cigarettes, drinking Coca-Cola, and staring off into the distance. And you know what Jesus Christ has done on that cross? He invited James. Just like he invited you, he invited me. And here's the climax of these parables. Everyone who responds to that call, the Master will seat that person at his table. Everyone who responds to that call will be seated at his table. I have no idea what heaven looks like. And Keith talked about heaven just a moment ago. There you are. Talked about it just a moment ago. John, in his revelation, tries his best to put into his simple vocabulary and simple language the things that he witnessed in the visions when he was exiled. That doesn't really help a whole lot, just to be blunt. Can you believe the preacher said that? It doesn't help a whole lot. I have no idea. And I don't know what you're going to look like, and I don't know what I'm going to look like. I'd like to think that I'd be able to walk into heaven and say, hey, Kim, it's good to see you, that I would recognize her face, but I don't know. But what I do know is this: there are going to be a lot of folks there that are wholly unlike you and me. that faced different challenges, that faced different struggles, that had different pains and worries, and some of it was self-inflicted and some of it not, most of it somewhere in between. And what the Master says to them is that you respond to my call, to my invitation. You've got a seat at my table. But Jesus goes on, and I'm going to finish with the rest of the chapter because I firmly believe that what comes next is flowing out of those parables that he just told. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, we read this several weeks ago, I always feel like I have to point this out, the image of Jesus being followed by great crowds, and he wheels around. That's the way I see it. He wheels around so that he can say this to them. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other's yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. And then he concludes, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. A way of saying, if you're willing to listen, listen to this. Throughout all of this, Jesus is describing, leading up to this description of what discipleship looks like, what following him looks like. And it is so very different than anything that we as human beings have conjured up in our own minds. Jesus turned everything upside down. This passionate master of the banquet wants his table to be full. Everyone is to be invited, and everyone who responds will be welcome. Everyone who responds, who comes to him, will find a seat at his table. It may be, I don't know, there are hearts out here who are in turmoil. Possibly because of sin, possibly because of things that have just happened in life. Maybe it's a broken or breaking relationship. Maybe it's a recent diagnosis. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a really poor choice or poor series of choices that have been made. But know this, you got an engraved invitation to the Master's table. And you answer that call, you know what he's going to do? He's going to pull out a chair for you. And he's going to say, this is your seat. Regardless what you've done. Regardless where you've been. There may be unsaved individuals in here today. In fact, I know there are. So I won't say there may be. I know there are. Well, repeating myself, the Master has sent you an engraved invitation to come have a seat at his table, to answer the call of the Master, to live as he has called us to live. It'll never be perfect. We'll have to continue to come and respond to that invitation by the Master. Hopefully someone in here hears that. Not from me, hear it from Jesus. Hear it from the Master. It says, you got a seat at my table. That's where his passion is. It is for every human being to hear and to respond. And for the rest of us, it's a warning to pay very, very close attention to those last few paragraphs that I read in Luke 14, and to remember what Jesus Christ expects of people who say, yes, I'll answer your call. Yes, I'll follow you.